gospel, I invite you to please stand as you are able. The Holy Gospel according to John, the 14th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and the doors of the house where the disciples had met were locked for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So this week and next, there are going to be thousands of high school graduates walking across a stage or a platform and receiving a diploma cover. And some of them, leading up to that day, are going to have dreams and maybe perhaps even a nightmare. Maybe the nightmare that they're there at their graduation and everyone has received their diploma, but when they open up their diploma, it says, "We are sorry, due to recent calculations, you have not actually met the requirements for graduation, and you will need to come back in the fall and be a super senior, and grade retention is what's next for you." I didn't have that particular nightmare as a senior, but I do remember having the nightmare of my mother saying over and over again, "Did you turn in all your library books? They're not going to give you a diploma if you don't have all your library books turned in." So one way or another, the worst nightmare of a senior would be to believe you're done only to realize you got to start back over at the beginning of your senior year or go back. I mean, what if, seniors, what if you had to take one last test that wasn't testing you on your senior second semester classes, but actually was reviewing biology from freshman year and giving you Oregon State history questions from how many years before, and to see how much retention you had of those topics. And if you could go back to those years, then you might receive your diploma. Or those of us who are many years removed from high school, what if we had to take a retention test and find out if we're still smarter than a fifth grader, and find out if we remember the things that earned us a diploma, and if not, like the DMV, perhaps every 8 years, we have to go get our diploma renewed by passing the test. What if this was how it worked? What if there's only a finite number of diplomas out there, and the way that you graduate high school is you go out into the world and you find an adult with a diploma and you challenge them to a knowledge bowl, and the winner takes the diploma? What if this was how it was? You know, Pentecost Day, the birth of the church, the coming of the Spirit, all of these things, the Spirit is given to the disciples, but how quickly we begin to either misuse or misunderstand the gift of the Spirit and misuse or misunderstand the role of the church, and we develop a system of spiritual retention, and we struggle to retain the gifts of God or the forgiveness of God, or we struggle feeling like if we don't keep going in this school of discipleship, we're going to experience grade retention and have to start over again. See, the Holy Spirit was not given for the first time on Pentecost with that rush of wind and the tongues of fire and the languages of the world of which we heard. The Spirit was given in that scene in the locked room, which I read from the Gospel of John. The Spirit was given in the words of peace from Jesus, risen that morning, coming to his fearful disciples and saying, "Peace. As the Father sent me, so I'm now sending you." And he breathes the Spirit on them with words of forgiveness. And then he says this, "If you forgive the sins of others, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of others or hold back forgiveness, their sins are retained." There's that word again, retained, retention. Conjuring up images of measurement and performance and regret and consequence. If grade retention would be the worst nightmare for a would-be graduate from high school, spiritual retention would be all the worse. To have your sins retained and have to go back and start over again. And for these disciples, he gives them a commissioning, and he says, your job now is to speak the words that have always only belonged to God, the words of forgiveness in God's name, and the words of conviction against sin in God's name. And he now gives them this word and says, just like I was sent, so now you are sent. My goodness. This is the birth of the church. He did tell them to wait for a few days because there was going to be an additional coming of the Spirit in power, as we'll get to later on. But he gives them this mission, and now we have the church. And this year we've been paying attention to the 500th anniversary of the Reformation that split the church from the Roman Catholic Church into 10,000 Protestant denominations. And we as Lutherans are children of the very first reforming movement of the church at that time. So I want to suggest that 500 years down the road, when we look at the church of today, when we look at our culture around us, we're going to see some of the same things that Luther saw in the Roman Catholic Church of his day. We're going to see some ways in which Christianity has been misunderstood and misused. So here's how Christianity is often misunderstood. It's often misunderstood as an authoritarian top-down system that we might call spiritual retention or the school of discipleship. And just the ways that we think about children who are raised and brought to high school commencement and given a diploma for their efforts, we too have seen the ways in which the church can be misused as a system of schooling in which you move from one grade level of the Spirit to the next, and we can separate the elite disciples from the ordinary disciples. And if you receive forgiveness gladly and get rid of sin gladly, then you can keep being promoted through the years. But if you would retain your sins, whether ignorantly or intentionally, then you are held back yet again in the school of discipleship. It's like always school and never summer. Always school and never graduation. Just like in Narnia under the White Witch, it was always winter and never Christmas. Repeating these grades. And in Luther's day, only the few and the elite seemed to make it all the way to the high school of spiritual progress. Those were called monks and nuns and priests, and especially the Pope and his bishops. But in our day, we have our own versions of that. So Christianity can be misused as a system of progress, and we can begin to separate ourselves one from the other. And eventually, for most of us, it just becomes rather tempting to drop out and say, it looks like I'm never going to graduate or make any real progress here. I'm just done with the whole system and everyone who holds it over my head. So in Luther's day, again, it's Rome and the power of the Pope and how that trickles down and how the system produced the wealth and power of the church at its center. In our day, it's a little different, but any celebrity pastor with a mastering of the new media can amass a massive following, and we see so many times that this leads to prosperity preaching in which health and wealth are promised to the truly faithful Christians who work hard enough and give sacrificially enough to progress to the high school of the school of discipleship, and perhaps even one day to graduate. And in all of this misuse, increasingly in our culture, there's a lot of people who just don't know what to make of it and just completely misunderstand Christianity and have never really even seen true Christianity. There's increasingly a number of people who have no first-hand knowledge of church. I mean, our seniors know this. There's increasingly people who have few, if any, friends who are truly Christian. There's an increasing unfamiliarity with the basics of the Christian faith, and even the fact that not all Christians are alike, and those who represent the faith might be varied in their traditions. So how does true Christianity cut through all that confusion? How do we, as people of not only the Reformation, but people of the Holy Spirit given on Pentecost and on Easter, how do we cut through all that confusion? Those disciples locked in the upper room on Easter, as Jesus comes to them in their fear and he announces peace and he gives them the Spirit by breathing on them and he gives them this commissioning to speak the words of God, and he says, I'm sending you now. I wonder at what point something shifted. I wonder at what point were the disciples less afraid of the Jewish authorities who had killed Jesus and more afraid of the Holy Spirit who was throwing them out of the room and into all the world, and who knows what would come next. But Jesus tells them to wait, and then on the 50th day after Easter, which we recognize this Sunday, 7 weeks after Easter, the Spirit came in power, clothing them from on high, as Jesus promised, and clothing not only the 11 disciples plus the replacement for Judas, but actually there's 120 disciples gathered in the upper room. Mary and the women who were with Jesus, and many, many other disciples. And the Spirit comes upon them, and they begin to speak words and languages that they had never learned in school. They had never learned any of these foreign languages in their own high school. And they come out into the public spaces of Jerusalem, where people were gathered from all over the world, Jews of all nations, and people coming home for the festival of Pentecost. And they start to speak about this Jesus and what had happened, this Jesus that they had now seen alive once more. And as the people hear it, they realize, where did these Galileans learn a dozen or more languages? We all know that Galileans don't have anything more than a high school diploma. They never would have learned how to speak like us. Where does this come from? Are they drunk? And Peter finally gets up and representing all of their sermons and all of the languages, Peter gets up and says, men of Judea and Jerusalem and everyone who's here, nobody's drunk. This is what the Spirit is doing. You see, on Easter, the disciples had the way and the means. Jesus was the way, and they saw that he had made his way through the grave and into new life. And Jesus gave them the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the means of delivering forgiveness to the world. They had the way and the means, but they didn't yet have the full meaning of what it would mean and what it would cost and how far this word of Jesus would go. And so on that Pentecost day, it wasn't gentle breathing from Jesus speaking peace. It was the rush of a violent wind and tongues of fire on the head and the cacophony of language as these men and women, young and old, came bursting out of the upper room and began to share the news. And now they realized, we had the way, we had the means, and now we see the meaning that Jesus came not just to renew Israel, but to make all nations part of the promise of Israel, to make this for all peoples. And Peter gets up and he shares from the prophet Joel, words given centuries before. He gets up and quotes Joel saying, in the last days God declares, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now they get the picture. Now they realize that all nations, all tongues, and the Spirit would be poured upon. It's not just for all people, but it's through all kinds of people that the Spirit would be communicated to the world. That it would be young men and old, graduates of high school and those who can't remember hardly a thing and are definitely not smarter than a fifth grader anymore. It comes to men and women. It comes to slave and free. It comes to Jew and Gentile non-Jew. It's inclusive of all nations and tongues and peoples, this work of the Spirit. God's mercy is intended for all, and God's severity is intended to be heard for all who would resist the mercy and the peace of God. Brothers and sisters, Christianity is not a spiritual retention program. with annual exams, with muster to pass, with the fear that you'll have to repeat grade after grade and perhaps never progress further in the school of discipleship, that eventually you'll just have to drop out or you'll be expelled, knowing that you'll never get that diploma, that you'll never get to the standard that God has called you to. The good news is, that's not true Christianity. That's a misuse or a misunderstanding. It's not a system, it's a gift. And here's the gift. Jesus Christ, given by the Holy Spirit, most especially in baptism, but in so many other ways as well. Jesus given to us by the Spirit in our baptism, that it is not how much we retain, but is that we are retained by the Spirit, that we are retained in the family and in the promises of God. That Jesus is the only one standing here with a diploma. Jesus is the one who has graduated from the grave, who has completely said goodbye and no more to the sins that the rest of us would retain. It is Jesus who is now the gift, who brings us in on his work. By his work we are made new. We will never graduate from baptism. That's great news. There's no graduating from baptism. This is not preschool for baby Christians. This is everything. And we live in it, and we drink of that living water for the rest of our lives. We swim in this gift. It's not preschool. It's the gift of God. Jesus is the way. The Spirit is the means. And on Pentecost, we see that the meaning is for the whole world and for all flesh, without distinction of person and position. And this good news of God does not spread by pomp and circumstance. It spreads through the power of the Spirit giving forgiveness and mercy and grace and hope, and over all of it, clothed in love. Amen.